today. Will this new proposal keep your email campaign safe? Google has some nifty new ad tools for you visual thinkers. How to hack Snapchat's new recommendation engine. And yes, Facebook ads are getting way more expensive. It's Thursday, July 29th, 2021. Happy National Anthem Day, Romania. I'm Todd Maffin from EngageQ Digital, and here's what you missed today in digital marketing. This morning, I got an email from my mom. She forwarded me an email she got, ostensibly from Best Buy, saying she'd won an iPhone 12. My mom is nearly 80 now, so, you know, they fall for this stuff. I did my best to explain that it didn't come from a BestBuy.com domain. Not that that's always proving anything. The grammar was bad. And also, why are they just sending iPhones out for no reason? How come they didn't have your name? All that stuff. I get it. It's hard sometimes for any of us to tell these phishing emails apart from the real ones. And that can hurt your brand. Let's say you are Best Buy. Even though you didn't send these out, people who don't understand that might end up thinking you did and get mad at you for not sending them the iPhone you promised. Now, a consortium of tech companies has formed a working group that may help combat this. They're working on a specification that would verify brands and then display their logos alongside the emails they send. They're calling it the Brand Indicators for Message Identification Standard. Quoting Marketing Dive, the effort became more imperative as phishing emerged as the most common form of cybercrime. Last year, incidents of phishing were reported to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center more than twice as frequently as any other kind of online criminal activity. More than a third of successful cyber attacks on businesses this year used phishing, up 11 percentage points from 2020, according to a Verizon report, unquote. To be clear, some email clients already look up the domain name and slap the favicon icon in there, but that can be easily spoofed. This new spec would only work for the real domains. Even though this is still somewhat in development, Google this month started implementing BIMIs in Gmail. I don't think we've seen this in the wild yet, so perhaps they're just working on the verification part now. But either way, once this comes through, it will be very welcome. Earlier this week, Google announced new ad tools for connected TV and audio ads. Now they're adding more stuff to Display and Video 360. My apologies, this gets a little nerdy, but for those of you who care about this stuff, first, a dedicated data visualization for each campaign that spans across channels and has a frequency goal set at the campaign level. This visualization will show you how much reach was gained due to effective frequency management at the campaign level. You can also access the same information at the advertiser or at partner level by creating an offline report in the standard Display and Video 360 reporting. Also, Display and Video 360 will now calculate for you the extra reach you get for each programmatic guaranteed deal using its frequency management solutions. An interesting new feature from Snapchat could increase the number of in-person visits your location gets, especially if you're a restaurant or a popular store. Today, Snapchat started to roll out its new My Places feature on its Snap Map. My Places has three tabs, Visited, Favorites, and Popular. Visited and Favorites should be obvious, but it's this third tab, Popular, that's interesting because it's the first time Snapchat has used an algorithm to recommend locations. And as the filthy digital marketers we are, we try to exploit that algorithm. So far, here's what we know about it. It considers the user's location, what they've favorited, and what their friends or other Snapchatters have visited and favorited. Thus, you may want to encourage your Snapchat visitors, that is, visitors in your actual storefront location, to favorite your location when they're there. If it's appropriate for your brand, maybe offer them 10% off at the till if they do this in front of you. As corny as this sounds, it's actually quite effective, and stores used to do this a lot when Facebook check-in was a thing. Snapchat claims 44% of their users look at the Snap Map to find places around them they might be interested in. More than a quarter of a billion people use the Snap Map at least once a month. Last week, the company reported its Q2 financials. It grew both revenue and daily active users at the highest rates it's seen in the last 4 years. Speaking of quarterlies, Facebook reported this week that revenue it earned from ads rose 56% compared to last year's Q2. But here's the part you're not going to like, but may not be a total surprise to you. Part of that, maybe even most of that, is because the average price per ad unit was also up 47% year over year. So yeah, if you've been thinking, well, you know, I just don't seem to be getting the same reach for my monthly $1,000 ad spend, you are right. Also not surprising, the company warned that all these Apple changes to tracking will be fully felt in the third quarter as more users upgrade and opt out. Zuckerberg's solution? He made one of those big idea speeches, something about they're not a social media company anymore, now they're a metaverse, whatever that is. I mean, points for not copying that from another company, I guess. Also in Facebook's future, more court cases. Last year, they were sued by the FTC and 40 American states' attorneys general. Last month, a judge tossed those separate antitrust lawsuits out, saying they failed to plausibly establish Facebook's monopoly. The states are appealing. But as TechCrunch noted, quote, "For years, it's been difficult to imagine a social media platform emerging as a proper rival to the company, given Facebook's market dominance and nasty habit of acquiring competitors or brazenly copying their innovations, but it's clear that TikTok is turning into just that. TikTok hit 700 million monthly active users in July of last year and surpassed 3 billion global downloads earlier this month, becoming the only non-Facebook-owned app to do so. If the famously addictive short-form video app can successfully siphon off some of the long hours that young users spend on Instagram and Facebook's other platforms and make itself a cozy home for brands in the process, the big blue giant out of Menlo Park might finally have something to lose sleep over. Another reminder that tomorrow at 1 o'clock Pacific, another listener Zoom. These are free for everyone to attend. It'll probably just be all of us chatting, so bring your questions. We'll try to handle it together. Consider it kind of like a therapy session. Mark it in your calendar. Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. London Time. It's Friday, by the way, depending on when you listen to this. The Zoom link to join us is b.link/listenerZoom, and that link is in the episode description as well. Butterfly baby. As you know, we do this newscast every single weekday, but if you'd prefer it in email form, or maybe both, we do that too. Every story we cover on the podcast and more. Related images, videos, exclusive content, all in our daily premium newsletter. It is a lot of content. Some days, more than will even fit in a Gmail, and those people get that little click here to read the rest of it thing at the bottom. It's a lot of content every day. More than 500 people subscribe to the newsletter in some form. Try it out for a full week yourself for free at todayindigital.com/newsletter or tap the link in this episode's notes. In addition to the daily newsletters covering that day's changes in our industry, you will also get exclusive replay links for our weekly Zooms. Also, I'm back doing semi-regular live streams on our TikTok account. You can find me there at todayindigital. Talk to you tomorrow. Catch me.